The Crosstalk Unhinged podcast is brought to you by BlueChew.com. Get the chewables that give you the confidence you need and the performance you both want when it's time to have fun. BlueChew.com, promo code unhinged.
Here's a little story I like to tell about four bad brothers you know so well. They had a little segment back in history with Carmen, Yurko, Wildo, and Sylvie. That's right, motherfuckers, Crosstalk is back. But you can only hear it if you have this app. ESPN 1000 Chicago, look under Wildo and Sylvie, or Carmen and Yurko. Uncut, uncensored, and never discreet. You will like this as much as Carmen likes feet. 30 minutes of talking shit amongst friends. Crosstalk unhinged. Let the show begin.
What the fuck is up? And what the fuck was that computer sound effect? Who's checking their email while we're starting the unhinged show?
Somebody just texted. It was Karma or Yurko. Neither one of them are here today.
Yeah, neither one. They're both on vacation. Yurko is shirtless, probably naked.
Probably has his, what does he call it? His leathery man sack in full display.
Sitting on his balcony.
I'm already uncomfortable. Yeah. I'm already uncomfortable.
Oh, management just walked into the building.
We've brought in some reinforcements. With the two how, instead of hearing, hey, where's...
I thought I smelled a rat.
Where's Unhinged? We said, hey, why don't we bring in Meller and Tyler, who are on our show, Waddle and Sylvie, 2 to 6 every single day.
Is Tyler legally allowed to swear?
I still get reprimanded.
Really?
When I do, yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard you swear.
I don't.
Say fuck.
Fuck.
Oh, man.
There you go.
You
want to make him do the roll call? Where will he stop? All right, so you said fuck. What about motherfuck?
Motherfuck.
All right, what about...
Cocksucker. Give us an...
What's going on here?
What do you mean?
You invited me in to talk about Leelia.
Well, Leelia uses cocksucker as much as anybody, which I feel a little uncomfortable about in Unhinged in 2022. Yes? No?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with all this.
So, Danny...
Let's keep it clean today.
Somehow... We avoided suspension. Keith Williams, our market manager, loves this podcast. He's probably listening now. It's probably 4 in the morning driving from Wisconsin to Chicago.
And it's a pleasant drive, I'm sure.
Yeah, and he listens to Crosstalk Unhinged.
Been there, done that.
And with the fuck, marry, kill, Santa Claus,
weird.
Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy.
You spent the last week also trying to defend your take on it. Like
yeah, bestiality
look at the pictures.
All of a sudden.
Yeah, there was a movie that was made where the Easter Bunny was, or the Tooth Fairy was...
The Rock,
was
right?
The Rock.
You can't play the bestiality card.
But you really undersold how hard you were pushing that you would fuck the bunny. When it first came up in the meeting, you were all in on fucking the bunny. And then when Podcast Unhinged came out, the Crosstalk Unhinged podcast last week, you were like, well, I just kind of suggested it. No, you were all in on fucking the bunny.
Yeah, you dove in.
Let's not play the bestiality card. Because first of all, let's suspend fucking reality because we're talking about a guy in a suit who delivers presents to everyone while sliding down the fucking chimney and going around the world in a sleigh with reindeers in one fucking day, okay?
Okay, first of all, reindeer is plural. I don't believe you need to throw an S on it. Second of all...
Did I say reindeers?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, second of all...
SIU education.
Second of all... Don't you dare pull the holier-than-thou bestiality card. This is Crosstalk Unhinged.
That's what I'm saying.
I was omitting it from the entire equation. At the end of the day, the bunny is always going to be a bunny. The tooth fairy can be anything you want it to
Thank
be. It's you. Always going to
Thank
be
you,
a bunny, though.
And then I love how he's like, well, The Rock was a tooth fairy. That was a fictional movie. The real tooth fairy looks hot as shit.
The real tooth fairy.
Yes.
I love this. This is what I mean.
And by the way, there is also a movie where Matthew Perry is the Easter bunny. So, I mean, like...
Yeah.
Is it Friends, Matthew Perry?
If it's Friends, Matthew Perry.
Listen, there were, I think, 4 different versions of Friends, Matthew Perry. He went through a roller coaster ride of substance abuse.
He blew
up several times.
Where's he at now with all of that?
I think,
is he okay?
I think he's in an okay spot.
Well, they did that reunion, and he did not look okay.
Exactly. No. That's what I was thinking.
Sweaty, swollen.
Tyler, I met him at the Kerrywood... Wiffle Ball event.
Yeah.
This was
is he a little sweaty and swollen?
He was a chain smoking, overweight, a grumpy guy.
Yeah.
He was he
and 17 million a year will do that to you, I guess.
Now this was several years ago. It surprised me. This was what, probably 2009?
Yeah.
10.
Was he having any drinks?
Oh, yeah. Like, that was a cool event because not only did we get to play wiffle ball on Wrigley Field, but we could have beer. Like, the beer was flowing where we had cups of beer, and we were all paired, like, in a golf outing with different wiffle ball teams as, quote, celebrities. We were paired. I had an epic showdown with Eric from
who?
Yeah,
that's you cannot talk about bestiality when it comes to the Easter Bunny.
So, but we took them down.
Did Eric Ferguson have any ladies wrong?
No, he was all in the up and up.
Did he ask for a back rub at any point?
Still be come in my office and close the door.
So
allegedly.
Chandler Bing. Allegedly.
He was a little grumpy. You should know that.
I told you not to invite me in here.
Anything you say or do
can be used against you in a court of law.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So, yeah.
That's the way Winning Time does it.
Yeah.
They portray fucking everyone as a lunatic, destructive human being. And at the end, they throw this little disclaimer. You know, a lot of this isn't really real.
You know what we should do before this podcast starts? Mellor, make a note, please. Before it starts, please say anything said on this podcast does not represent the thoughts, actions, and feelings of anyone at ESPN Chicago.
Of regular over the radio.
Correct.
Over the audio, ESPN 1000.
Any accusations made in this podcast are alleged.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, Tyler's here. All right. So we did the roll call. We got a little sweaty over a couple words.
Yeah.
Mellor is here. Mellor is as dirty as anybody on this show.
Yeah, he brought in a ringer, buddy.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, when you want to go blue, your guy, your first draft pick, number one drafted overall, Jeff Mellor.
I think he's the most recent employee to swear on the air.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Coach K got me a little heated, dropped an F-bomb regarding Bobby Knight's presence at... I thought
those should be exonerated.
I thought North Carolina, they would have been best served honoring Coach K by inviting Bobby Knight to UNC to go, you know, present him with something, because we all know how good that relationship is. And I think I said, you know, Coach K, you know, so fucking mightier than thou, and kind of lost.
Holier than thou?
Yeah.
But fucking holier than thou.
Which you can do on this podcast, but not on ESPN.
Did it get through or did it get dunked?
No, I dunked myself.
Oh, you dunked yourself?
Yeah. I just was caught in passion there. So.
My favorite swear of all time, Danny, on the radio was the day, and Mellor, you were with us, is the day that Waddle decided to spell shit.
Yeah, I spelled shit.
He thought he could get away with it by saying S-H-I-T.
Yeah. It's a good thing. Yeah, you know, it's worth the effort.
Yeah, it was. It was a try to sneak it past him.
I think the logic is sound, right?
Yeah,
you're not actually saying it.
Yeah. It's like saying, what is it, like a-hole? What's the difference?
Or WTF.
Yes, there you go.
Well, it's more of an acronym, though. It doesn't actually spell it out. Can you say W-H-A-T? T-H-E-F-U-C-K?
Can I say donkey crevice instead of asshole?
Sure.
Waddle will love this. My always go-to was to get away with it was... the old "see you next Tuesday."
Yes,
that's my favorite line to use when in need. You're looking at me.
You're familiar with
"see you next Tuesday."
Did that really go over your head?
By the way, I never heard that before.
That word,
we can't say that on here. I don't. Think.
No, never. No.
That word is part of the everyday vocabulary in England.
Absolutely, you're talking to a man who watches a lot of soccer. It's not
that
bloody
word is
"see
like,
you next Tuesday."
Yeah, that word is like.
But that's the most vile word now, here.
Yeah. We don't feel
comfortable even using that word on Unhinged.
I've never used it on Unhinged.
I thought I had free-flowing out.
I don't know why it brings about such a strange response from people. Because like I said, like Mellor, I mean, you see if you watch any of these shows on Netflix or anywhere else that are all like based in England.
They usually say bloody in front of it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the time. Yeah. I mean, it's used quite frequently.
Yes.
By both genders, men and women.
Yeah. But I don't know if it's as closely associated to female erogenous zones as it would be in London like it is here. So I don't think it's almost like
you're suggesting it has a different meaning in London.
I think when you're in England or the UK, I think it definitely
it's
become part of their lexicon. When
it's just a word.
Well, Mason asked me recently, what makes fuck a bad word?
Nothing. Like, and again, told him absolutely nothing.
Yeah, when you go deep down, like why do we care? That we could say all these other words, but we say fuck. And all of a sudden, we're like, oh, no, how dare you?
Bro, I'm all with you on that. Like, we can treat each other like fucking dirt.
Yes.
But we can't say the word. Like, treating people poorly or horribly is more acceptable than saying fuck. Right, Danny?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, listen, still when I see someone swear on Twitter that works here, I'm like, and then I swore on Twitter this morning. I'm
liberated now.
Yeah.
Since Good Karma Brands, I don't know if they're cool with it. No one has said anything to me, but I have done a 180 on how I treat my social account now.
Yeah, we're not. Well, listen, Mickey doesn't sign the checks anymore, so there's a little bit more freedom.
And that's how we talk off the air. Like, I mean, it like people think, well, why are you using all the words on Unhinged? This is how our pre-show sounds. Like, none of this, I don't believe, is forced, really.
Mm, no.
No?
I don't think so. No. I mean, listen, there's a time and place, and it's done out of respect for others who may not be as comfortable with the terminology and the words as like we are. Like we have a very liberal exchange in terms of language in our house. Like my 18-year-old daughter will say fuck frequently, but I know she doesn't do it in public. She does it in an environment inside our family where it's a word. It's just a word, and if it's not directed at somebody in a really horrible, disrespectful way, nobody freaks out.
Yeah, but how old was she when she first started doing it? I remember the first time I said fuck somebody in front of my parents, I was like, ah, fuck him. And like, I waited for like my dad to be like, what did you just say? And it didn't come. And then I was like, all right, I guess I'm clear now. I guess I can get away. I was like 16. But like, at what point? I had a driver's license. I was 16. Yeah, I said,
my kids aren't kids. I have adults.
No, but I'm wondering how old is he? Like, if Mason goes home today and says, fuck him about Billy on the playground.
It's tough.
Well, yeah, Mason doesn't count.
In context, though, because it's funny you brought this up. My daughter, she's 11 years old. We were, when we were skiing, we were walking back from a restaurant, and she happened, I don't know if she's like dropped something or on the ground or whatever, and she said, oh shit. But it wasn't with any malice. Right. It was just a, like Waddle said, like
frustration.
It sounded like, yeah, exactly. You know, where you could have used any word essentially to replace it, and it wasn't directed at somebody in some vicious manner. And so I didn't even address it. But it's the first time I've ever actually heard her swear at 11 years old.
And did you laugh?
I kind
of
just,
like, how could you not? Like, that's when I hear my kids say something, in the back of my mind, I'm laughing, but you can't put up that front, you know, because you're trying to discourage it. Because the last thing you want them to do is go to school and get in trouble. Right. Like, and I think the Waddle way of, like, if your kid says something, but he treats kids with respect and he acts the right way in school and in public, that's something I'm willing to overlook in the big picture.
Well, listen, if your child, and again, I have adults, I don't have children. If you know that they know the difference between saying fuck at the kitchen table with mom and dad is different than saying fuck at the cafeteria with a group of 10 adults that, you know, are there for some sort of, you know, events. It's entirely different. As if you have the confidence and you know your child is able to differentiate between, you know, what's going on at home and nobody is going to be offended and what's going on in public, then I don't have a problem with
it. You know what I think is most amazing about you guys and Carmen and Yurko is, like, when we do the pre-show meeting, the pre-show fist fight, you guys swear, you talk just like you do on the Unhinged podcast. Then for some reason, when you go on the air between 2 and 6, you have the ability to filter that out. That's a talent, you know, like...
It gets tougher after doing this, though. And, like, after listening to Pardon My Take. When I hear now as a listener Pardon My Take, when Big Cat comes on, and when he was definitely in studio... I really told myself, I had to have like a conversation in my head, don't swear, because I sort of lower my guard, and because you're just talking to him like you would normally talk to him or text to him.
I find radio to be like, I'm not as guarded about it. Like when you're doing television and you don't have a dump button, like that's when you have to have yourself conditioned not to go into those arenas. For whatever reason, I think that there's a safety blanket that you can just, you know, there's a safety valve. You can hit the dump button and it can save you for
just
the most part.
Just 7 seconds. Boom. Yeah. Gone.
Right.
Most of the time.
You don't have that luxury on the television side.
Tyler, do you ever swear in front of your parents? I know the answer is definitely not.
Yes.
Liar. All the time.
In what context?
I am easily the most vulgar of any of the kids. Actually, I would say of anyone in my immediate family.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I've got one brother, one sister.
Okay.
And the order would go me, my brother, my sister.
Age or vulgarity?
Both.
That's the order.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you guys were at Bub City with Keyshawn and J. Will after the show,
they couldn't believe that we started swearing, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I was going to say, Tyler, after the show, got an old fashioned, and I saw him take a sip, and it's like the first time you ever had a drink. Like, he looked like he was going to cough it up, and his face got all red.
Was that your first, like, bourbon drink?
No. I don't know what you're talking about.
First one of the day.
This is just a complete fabrication from Danny over here.
He was red. It was like burning his lungs.
Okay, you know,
true story.
When Tyler
that
got just,
that was after J. Will had ripped his ass for being hard on
Coach. Yeah,
yeah, that's deservedly so.
Off the air, Tyler and J. Will had a talk. What did he say to you? He turned to you.
It was the first thing. The second he put the headphones down, he turns to me and goes, "So why do you hate my coach?"
And he was serious.
And he was serious, dead serious. Like it wasn't a sarcastic thing or a busting your balls here. No, it was, why do you hate my coach?
What'd you tell him?
And I told him because he makes everything about himself. And then he chirps back with, well, what does Coach Cal do? Coach Cal makes everything. And I said, no, he doesn't. He makes everything about the kids. He has one goal. He doesn't care about winning. He just wants to get kids to the NBA. That's his only goal. And he's transparent about it. And then he got into the whole, oh, Boeheim killed a guy, blah, blah, blah.
See, that's like you can't argue the bestiality card right there. That's sort of like unfair, right?
No, I love it. That's where you go.
I don't even know that story, but I don't know that.
Coach Boeheim should probably find
car
a safe
accident,
house.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, it was very controversial.
Nothing K does is going to be that bad.
No.
Well, we just don't know about it.
So the
allegedly.
So with the guys out and us wanting to put out another Unhinged, the reason we're having this discussion too about language, and not only is Danny here who now is in management, but because today that we're recording it is the 39th anniversary of the Lee Ilya rant, about 2 minutes and 40 seconds after the Cubs lost again in 1983 in front of about 5,000 people. And everyone was booing the Cubs again. And we've always played it. I love it. It's very meaningful to me, being a Cubs fan, because it just represented everything that the Cubs were back when I was growing up. And I think he's so creative with his swearing. We have never, ever been able to play it uncensored in any environment on ESPN 1000. But Unhinged gives us the arena to play it and analyze it.
Shit, balls, fuck.
So the Cubs lose. Let me paint you the picture. If you don't know about it, 1983, the Cubs sucked. Dallas Green came in like 80 or 81. He was the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. He won a World Series with the Phillies. He is vaulted into the general manager's role with the Cubs. And then he hires a bunch of his coaches from the Phillies staff and a bunch of his former players. Like Larry Boa came from Philadelphia and Ryne Sandberg was a throw-in in the trade. Keith Moreland from Philadelphia. Lee Ilya was in the Phillies organization. So all this, and the term was they're building a new tradition. And the Cubs, it's funny because when I was a kid in 1984 and they finally won, it was a 39-year drought. And now we're looking back on the 39-year anniversary of this rant. So they hadn't won, the Cubs hadn't won anything of note since 1945, all right? And I'm 11, 12 years old. And back in those days, there's no internet, obviously, very few reporters. There were a couple writers at this press conference. And then there was Gene Greco and Les Grobstein, the late, great Les Grobstein. The Grobber may rest in peace. And the audio version that you hear today is of Les Grobstein's recording. Gene Greco always tells the story that he had the other recording, but it has gone missing in the Channel 5 archives. So the only recording we have is thanks to Les Grobstein's microphone that he used till the day he died and his tape recorder. So this was after yet another loss. The Cubs are well below 500, kind of like the White Sox are currently, and they're going through this slump at the beginning of the year, and they're getting booed by the 5,000 to 7,000 people at Wrigley Field, and this is Lee Ilya.
I hope we get fucking hotter than shit just to stuff it up them 3,000 fucking people that show up every fucking day. because if they're the real Chicago fucking fans, they can kiss my fucking ass right downtown and print it.
Can you pause it there?
Like, really,
we could go by this one-on-one. Like, anyone who says that that's not a good rant, first of all, he's going for the jugular with the fans, okay? So there is no dolling anything up. And second of all, the way he's twisting these phrases, not only is he swearing, but the you can take it downtown and print it line is so original and still used today by people who are like referencing it, but some people may not understand why
somewhere it came from.
Wait, how about this? That phrase has outlived the relevancy of the printed newspaper.
Yes.
Think about that. Write downtown and print it.
Take it downtown to the Chicago Tribune building and print it.
Take it downtown and put it on a podcast.
Yes. And they were owned. Remember, the Cubs at this time are owned by the Chicago Tribune. Take it right downtown and print it. And with the anger in his voice, he's not just swearing. He's not just going after fans. He's twisting phrases. And he's got true anger behind him. Take a look. Here's more.
Around here. My fucking ass.
My fucking ass.
What the fuck am I supposed to do? Go out there and let my fucking players get destroyed every day and be quiet about it for the fucking nickel dime people to show up? The motherfuckers don't even work. That's why they're out at the fucking game. They only go out and get a fucking job and find out what it's like to go out there and earn a fucking living. 85% of the fucking world's working. The other 15 come out here. The fucking playground for the cocksuckers.
All right, pause it there. Like, he's going for the jugular.
He was a good swearer.
He's telling everybody that anyone who's in our stands watching day baseball, you're too fucking stupid to have a job.
Listen, there is an art to swearing. Some people, when they swear, it just doesn't look good. It doesn't wear well.
Did you ever find it ironic that the man who's managing a baseball team is yelling at people to go out and get a job to know what it's like to work for a living? Right. That gets me every time.
The nickel and dime people, he says.
The guy at the microphone speaking now is dressed in jammies, basically, for work every day for 3.5 hours on the top step of a dugout in a baseball.
He wears a hat to work every single day.
Every day.
This is the essence of what Waddle says. Waddle always says, if you boo us, don't be shocked when we boo you back.
Yes.
Not only is he booing the fans back, he is calling them cocksuckers and motherfuckers with true anger in his heart.
There's no hollowness in this delivery at all. This is from the straight from the ticker.
Danny, are you sitting this one out or yet?
You're nailing it. You're nailing it on the head.
And you know what, too, though?
I'm still regretting bringing up Eric Ferguson.
Allegedly.
I didn't.
You
did. I'm completely clean of any blame on that.
Is it odd, too, that part of the insults, it really cuts to it, though, is calling them nickel dimers.
I know.
That's not even dirty, and it just feels filthy.
It's the whole thing. The other cocksuckers come out. 85% of America or Chicago works. The other 15 fucking percent come out here. It's a playground for the motherfuckers. I mean, come on. This is fucking poetry. Who's one of the best poets to ever live? This is
Andrew Dice Clay.
Shel Silverstein.
Children's book writer, right?
It was great poems.
Yeah.
This guy is a poet when it comes to swearing.
Are you sure this isn't Jason Hayward in the 2000 and what was it, 18?
16
championship, rain delay.
Talking about Joe Madden.
Well, the story about that goes, and one day I hope to get it confirmed. And I do have someone in mind, too, who is willing to speak on. I will keep him nameless for now. Who's willing?
Javi?
It's not Javi, no. Someone else recently spoke, and I want to ask him about, because the legend of the Jason Hayward speech is that it wasn't, hey, guys, let's overcome this. It's, hey, guys, let's win in spite of our fucking manager. He put us in this position. We're the players. Let's take ourselves out of this position.
I think Rizzo may tell you that if he wasn't cleaning shoe polish off his nutsack at that time, right? That's my favorite. That's one of my favorite stories in the history of all sports.
You know the story, Danny?
I don't know.
You know the story.
Tell
him the story.
There were a couple books of notoriety written about the Cubs championship. There's the plan,
Oh, my cap.
And then there's
Tom Verducci.
Tom Verducci's book. I'll give you a guess which book had this story.
Verducci's.
Yes. So you want to tell it?
No, you know the story.
So it's 3-1 Cleveland. As I went to Game 4 with my mom, took her. They're down 3-1, and everyone's thinking it's over. And I'm like, there's still something special about this team, but I don't know. So Rizzo comes up with the idea that to loosen up the team before Game 5, he's going to dance naked, put on the sound system, the music Rocky. And they're going to get up off the mat like Rocky, and they're going to come back and win. So in the middle of the Cubs clubhouse before Game 5.
Is he on a table or is he not on a table?
I thought he was on a table.
Yeah, that's
table.
What I thought too. He's on a table, and and there's Rizzo. Totally naked, like boxing.
Shadow boxing.
Shadow boxing. Cubs go out. John Lester pitches great. I think Brian had a big home run in that game. Everyone who says he's not clutch.
Hasn't hit a home run since then, I don't think.
You got to take a shot. And they win. So what happens? Game 6.
He's got to do it again.
Cleveland, before that game, on the table, Rocky music. Cubs go out and they crush. Remember we did sit together. We all sat together for that game. They crushed them. It was a blowout. We had drinks with Tom Ricketts after that game. And they win big.
He actually bought us drinks, too, despite the biblical losses that he was suffering through.
Not at that time,
though. Oh, that's right. That came later.
And then before Game 7, there you go. Here comes Rizzo, naked, on the table. And it's
Rondon.
It's Rondon. Because with Rodon, I always get a mix. Hector Rondon. The Cubs setup guy at one time, he was their closer. As Rizzo's up there before Game 7 to loosen up the team, it's 3-3. We've got momentum. Doesn't he, what did he do?
Shoe polish, right?
He does like a spray shoe polish.
Takes shoe polish and he sprays
it all over.
For what reason?
To be funny, I guess. So the story is you've got this streak going.
It's game fucking 7.
And Rizzo's up there dancing and getting them ready for the game. And Rondon comes over and sprays his nuts with black shoe polish.
And fucking Rizzo, according to the Verducci book, is furious. And he gets off the table and he's pissed and it burned and he's upset. I mean, shoe polish on your ball sack. And
you didn't know that story.
I heard the Rocky part. I didn't know he was naked. I don't understand why you got to dance naked, but whatever.
But I mean, loosen the guys up, make you laugh, make everyone laugh before an elimination
game.
God
bless him.
He may have had a jockstrap on, but
okay, maybe.
But otherwise, naked.
It still burned.
Yes.
And then I think we may have asked David Ross this at Chicago Cut when Sut was with us and he was retired, because I think Rossi added to the story. And it was David Ross who had to console Rizzo and say...
Because he was pissed?
Yeah. The boys need you.
Yeah.
You can't go into Game 7 pissed. You got to turn that music back on and you got to get back onto the table.
Get off the mat.
No way.
Yeah.
And that's why Rossi's the manager.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That solidified
and
that.
And sure enough, and so not only do you have the shoe polish incident, but then you have the Hayward speech telling everyone, look, the manager fucked us. Let's go out and win in spite of our fucking manager. That's about. We got here with the Lee Ilya stuff. It's awesome.
Cubs history. Can't believe Cap never asked Rizzo about that on the show. The shoe polish.
We've got to circle. And I'm trying to think the Cub player now who just retired from the Cubs. Did someone just retire recently?
Ben Zobrist?
No, he's not talking about anything.
Juicier things to ask him. Anyway.
Yeah.
Jake Arrieta.
He may want to.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. It's Arrieta who's been dishing on stuff. Arrieta wasn't scared on his Twitter handle to go after Joe Maddon ruining baseball by intentionally walking someone with the bases loaded. I think when we get Arrieta that he may be willing... We'll see to go on the record with the Joe Maddon Game 7 story.
Yeah.
And then we can ask him about the...
And the shoe polish on the ball sack.
I don't know if Arrieta should be, you know the saying, people in glass houses.
Allegedly. Look, you already went to a place you don't want to go.
You know, that's nobody's going to happen. Like, that's going to be snipped right out.
It's like the Willendas. You know, this is... it's a high wire act. You got to know what you're doing. Don't be up there freestyling. You got to be careful.
Listen, Sylvie brought up Eric Ferguson. It falls on him.
Now I'm supposed to all of a sudden omit him from every story? We played a wiffle ball game against Eric Ferguson's team, and we beat him. I robbed him of a home run right at the fence.
And all I asked was, were there ladies there participating? I didn't say anything wrong.
Wait, when you dig a hole and the hole is not a really good thing, you're supposed to put the shovel down. You keep going back with the shovel.
You keep going back to dig.
Julie sprayed the ground. There's those lines that say, don't dig here because there may be electrical cables underground, and you just keep throwing the fucking shovel in there.
Allegedly.
You're going to get electrocuted, Danny.
So how
have you enjoyed that big office down the hall?
It's been great.
I've enjoyed it.
You have a nice office. Good furniture, modern furniture.
I've had my eye on a few of the
fridge.
Items.
Oh, you like? What do you like? Whatever you want, Tom, it's yours.
Would you want a shower?
I bought the fridge at Costco. I want one of those walking desks. I'm trying to convince.
A walking desk?
The desk walks?
It goes under your desk. It's like a pad, and while you're working, instead of sitting on your ass all day, you actually walk while you work. I'm trying to convince.
He wants one of those buttons. Closes the door from behind his desk.
Oh, yeah.
Help me woodshop this. I'm trying to convince Keith that we need a few.
Workshop.
Woodshop it or workshop it?
We're going to walk into the woodshop. We're going to do
I'm not going into the woodshop with you.
You go to the woodshed. I'm trying to convince Keith. We've got all these sitting rooms that nobody sits in.
Yeah.
I'm trying to convince him maybe a Peloton and a treadmill.
I think a treadmill would be a good addition.
But not without a shower.
That's his pushback. His pushback is, where's everyone going to shower?
Do you care how I smell?
Why would I want to be in the studio with you smell like
I'll
a fucking gun?
Harmon goes jogging every day before his show. Nobody seems to mind.
I thought it was after
the
show.
It was after.
It was after when
they were on earlier.
Correct.
Yeah, now they're on later.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This isn't the type of workplace where we need a Peloton or a...
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're here long enough to, like,
some
utilize
of you aren't.
It.
Well,
speak
Maybe
for yourself.
You,
Dave,
can we just get some free fucking snacks instead? I mean, like... Give us something that
we
you
have
the
snacks.
Machine.
We have chips and NutriCane crane bars.
And water.
I don't remember the last time I had one of those.
These are just some frozen pizzas in the
fridge. Can we get like a fucking frozen ice cream machine or something? One of those soft serve machines.
By the way,
how about a good coffee machine?
Or a good coffee machine, yeah.
Before we play the rest of the rant, today's obviously, like all of them, is brought to you by our great friends at Blue Chew. I think we could get some free Blue Chew. If you go to their website, do we have the read? Merkin usually gets the read for us. Blue Chew is awesome. Is this it? Thank you, Danny,
to go off script here and tie anybody's name to this product.
Other former radio hosts should not be taking Blue Chew, but for...
Now he's with me. Sylvie and I.
You've heard us talk about BlueChew.com on ESPN for years. You know you've been thinking about giving it a try. What's holding you back? No shame in it. You know, you can't bang like your stallion 24-year-old self. Has that always been in there, that you can't bang like
I think Carm put that in there.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Hey, speak for yourself. Tyler thinks he can.
He is
25-year-old self.
You know what? Carm went into the wood shop and put that line in there. He went in there and fixed it.
Blue Chew enhances your performances and gives you that confidence that... need to make sure your partner is getting the big O. That would be the big orgasm.
My guess is Yurko on his flight down to Marco Island had a separate carry-on filled with Blue Chew.
I hope he didn't take it while he was on the plane. You heard about that story recently where the guy, was working on himself four different times on the Southwest. Yeah. Four different times.
That fourth one that gets you.
Yeah, like the flight attendants didn't want to say anything after two or three. Here's a special deal for our fans. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code UNHINGED to check out. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code UNHINGED, to receive your first month free. We always say what we're hard for. I'm hard for the Lee Ilya rant. Here's the rest of it. Maybe at the end we could play it in its entirety without it being interrupted.
Rip them motherfuckers. Rip them cocksuckers like the fucking players.
Cocksuckers.
Got guys busting their fucking ass, and them fucking people too. And that's the Cubs? My fucking ass.
My favorite line.
They talk about the great fucking support that the players get around here. I haven't seen it this fucking year. The name of the game is hit the ball, catch the ball, and get the fucking job done.
Can you pause it right there, Mallory?
This is my
another favorite part that I love about this, and it's very random, that now you'll hear towards the end as he's going off, Yosh Kawano, who is the longtime clubhouse attendant, thinks it's okay during the middle of the rant to start vacuuming. The office.
Hey, he's got work to do.
He's like, I gotta fucking clean this place up.
Yeah, maybe he was trying to clean up Lee there and save his ass a little bit.
So you'll hear
everybody out. I gotta clean up.
So you'll hear the vacuum turn on at the tail end of the rant.
We have wins. The fucking changes that have happened in the Cub organization are multifold.
There it is.
All right, they don't show because we're 5-14. And unfortunately, that's the criteria of them dumb 15 motherfucking percent that come out to day baseball. The other 85% are earning a living. It'll take more than a 5-13 or 5-14 to destroy the makeup of this club.
Let it flow.
I guarantee you that. There's some fucking pros out there that want to fucking play this game. But you're stuck in a fucking stigma of the fucking Dodgers and the Phillies and the Cardinals and all that cheap shit.
The cheap shit.
And their wins?
All these motherfucking editorials about Say and fucking the Philly-itis and all that shit, it's sickening. It's unbelievable. It really is. It's a disheartening fucking situation we're in right now.
Yo, 5-14
doesn't negate all that work. Got 143 fucking games left. Oh, what I'm trying to say is don't rip them fucking guys out there. Rip me.
What I'm trying to say.
You want
to
rip somebody, rip my fucking ass. But don't rip them fucking guys because they're giving everything they can give. But once we hit that fucking groove, it'll flow. And it will flow. The talent's there. I don't know how to make it any clearer to you. I'm frustrated. I'll guarantee you I'm frustrated. It'd be different if I walked in this room every day at 8:30 and saw a bunch of guys that didn't give a shit. They give a shit, and it's a tough National League East.
There you go. It's a tough National League.
That's good.
How good is that? At the end, he's
there's an art to swearing.
For
there
2 minutes,
really
he goes on and he calls them dumb and he says that they're unemployed and he calls them cocksuckers and motherfuckers. And then with like 30 seconds left, he says, what I'm trying to say is,
if you want to rip anyone, rip me.
He
starts to talk like your grandfather as he's trying to console you.
The groove flowed to a 71-91 season. In
but they won next year, it flowed. And it will flow.
What's great? What's
and,
great
and who
about
was the
it,
manager that year?
Yeah, it wasn't not him. Lee, it was Jim Fry.
What's great about it is nowadays how much we would appreciate if a manager did that.
Oh my God!
Because
like,
everyone's so vanilla and everyone's
would,
so
they
media
would get
conscious.
Fired. They would get fired on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sylvie's right. There's no.
I know, but then we come from Matt Nagy, who said a bunch of nothing. And we've got Matt Eberflus, who so far sounds like a robot. And we had Mark Trestman, who says nothing. Like, it's.
Wait a second. I would just
for the days of guys just being honest.
Really, what do you want Matt Eberflus to say? You know, he's been in their office for 2 months.
I don't know. He just sounds like a robot.
It's like him and Poles. Everyone is down. Like I don't know. I'm not suggesting that I'm on board, but how can you be down on these two guys at this point?
I'm not down on him as a coach. He might be the next Bill Belichick. I don't know. I'm just saying when he originally met the media, and we don't say, oh, he won the press conference or not, but he wasn't that entertaining. Like there was nothing about
games.
It that I was like, let's go.
Let's win more than we lose.
What were you going to say, Mallor?
Yeah, they're a product of you can't speed up the calendar. They can't do anything until they actually start playing games.
Can you imagine if Matt Nagy came out and he said, listen, you guys played that fucking penis and Cracker Jack thing.
Yes, it would be great.
You guys are a bunch of cocksuckers. You guys are making me look like a motherfucker.
He didn't say
fuck
it.
Fuck all you guys.
But I know he felt it.
Oh, I know, but you can't say it.
No, of course.
You know, like, you're gone. That's why I love it. So, all right, that wraps it up.
Buy me some penis and Cracker Jack.
I never appreciated it truly for the greatness that it is. back when it first happened. Like,
oh,
now,
so good.
It is beyond gold. Oh, it is platinum.
He says, while you're eating your Cracker Jack sitting at Wrigley Field, I'm going to give you a little penis, too.
Buy me some penis and Cracker
Jack. He told us.
Why am I buying penis and Cracker Jacks at a baseball game?
Wait, it's overpriced, too.
Why are you asking Mitch to try and play the same offense that Patrick Mahomes plays in?
And you can you imagine the reaction if Lee Elia caught wind that they were selling penis in the stands at Wrigley Field? My God.
Cheaper outside the stadium, too.
Buy me some penis and Cracker Jack.
It's not... I made excuses for him when I first heard it. That's just a Pennsylvania accent. It is literally penis.
Yes.
And Cracker Jack.
Right. He says Cracker Jack perfectly fine.
Give me one more.
Buy me some penis and Cracker Jack.
There's no tea. Yeah. Meller, as we leave, can we play the entire, so people have it at the end of this pod, and if they ever wanted to go and get the Foley Ilya rant that we could play it here?
Sure, yeah.
We could play it. So what does Carmen always say to...
Go fuck yourself, Tom.
For those of you who don't have YouTube.
I hope we get fucking hotter than shit. Stuff it up them 3,000 fucking people that show up every fucking day. Because if they're the real Chicago fucking fans, they can kiss my fucking ass right downtown and print it. They're really, really behind you around here. My fucking ass. What the fuck am I supposed to do? Go out there and let my fucking players get destroyed every day and be quiet about it for the fucking nickel-dime people to show up? The motherfuckers don't even work. That's why they're out at the fucking game. They only go out and get a fucking job and find out what it's like to go out there and a fucking living. 85% of the fucking world's working. The other 15 come out here. The fucking playground for the cocksuckers. Rip them motherfuckers! Rip them cocksuckers like the fucking players! Got guys busting their fucking ass and them fucking people boo! And that's the Cubs? My fucking ass! They talk about the great fucking support that the players get around here. I haven't seen it this fucking year. The name of the game is hit the ball, catch the ball, and get the fucking job done. Right now, we have more losses than we have wins. The fucking changes that have happened in the Cub organization are multifold. All right, they don't show because we're 5-14. And unfortunately, that's the criteria of them dumb 15 motherfucking percent that come out to day baseball. The other 85% are earning a living. It'll take more than a 5-13 or 5-14 to destroy the makeup of this club. I guarantee you that. There's some fucking pros out there that want to fucking play this game. But you're stuck in a fucking stigma of the fucking Dodgers and the Phillies and the Cardinals and all that sheep shit. All these motherfucking editorials about Say and fucking the Phillyitis and all that shit, it's sickening. It's unbelievable. It really is. It's a disheartening fucking situation we're in right now. 5-14 doesn't negate all that work. Got 143 fucking games left. What I'm trying to say is don't rip them fucking guys out there. Rip me. If you want to rip somebody, rip my fucking ass. But don't rip them fucking guys because they're giving everything they can give. But once we hit that fucking groove, it'll flow. And it will flow. The talent's there. I don't know how to make it any clearer to you. I'm frustrated. I'll guarantee you I'm frustrated. It'd be different if I walked in this room every day at 8:30 and saw a bunch of guys that didn't give a shit. They give a shit, and it's a tough National League East. It's a tough National League, period.
Buy me some penis and Cracker Jack.